Yeah, welcome one and all. Bunce's boxing podcast. The good fights just keep on coming, don't they? Looking forward to Amir Khan in the ring this weekend with Devon Alexander. The man himself is here to preview it as well. Hi, Bunce, you well?
Fantastic.
Excellent. I feel like we've been spoilt with the boxing already the last few weeks, but this is going to be a cracker. Before we look at that, and we're going to have a look at Andy Lee's fight as well, let's have a quick look back. We haven't had a chance to kind of mull over the fallout from that big Chisora Fury weekend. The fight, he absolutely schooled him, didn't he, Tyson Fury? And I thought it was one of his most accomplished and best performances. Maybe not most exciting, but he didn't have to remind me of a Klitschko.
Well, you know what, that was it. You just said, you took the words right out of my mouth, as Meatloaf used to sing, because that's exactly what he did. He out-Klitschko'd Klitschko the other night. It was brilliant. He did it. It was a complete straight-on, bang-on Klitschko performance. He's critical of Klitschko, but that's what he did. He used every inch of his height, every ounce of his weight to his advantage, and he still didn't press his advantage when he could have. And how many times, Lee, in the last 8 years, have we said after a Vitaly or a Vladimir fight, why don't they go in and finish it? Mm. They don't go in and finish it, because if you go in and finish it, you have to go over your front foot. If you go over your front foot, you invariably take a risk, a slightly bigger risk than you do if you're sitting on your back foot. And until the person in front of you is absolutely finished, shattered, wrecked, you don't take a risk. Rather like a bullfighter. Why do you think a bullfighter allows the guys on the horses, allows the other people, tries one or two stabs before he gets to the bull? He waits till the bull has nothing left. And how many times does a bull win? Think about it that way. Yeah. You want to know how the Klitschko's do it? You want to know how Big Tyson did it the other day? Watch a bull fight.
Yeah. It's funny watching it, you know, Bunce, because I'm a card-carrying Anthony Joshua fan, as I think the most of the nation and half the world are at the moment. When I watched...
The half that have heard about him.
Yeah. When I watched Tyson Fury in the ring, I suddenly thought, do you know what? He looks a lot bigger. And in my mind's eye, I was trying to imagine Anthony Joshua in the ring with him. And I even thought he might not dwarf Joshua, obviously, but he might even make Joshua not look that big compared to some of the opponents. It looks a big step up now, doesn't it? People who are saying, oh yeah, just chuck him in with Fury. He looks a big step up all of a sudden.
Well, you know, the whole thing with Joshua is that if you liken it to a footballer, and when you've heard of Joshua, you've heard of footballers. What basically has happened with this kid, with Big Josh, is that we know he's got talent, he's fast, he can control the ball, he can header, he can do this, he can do that. But at the moment, he hasn't even played a reserve game.
Yeah.
Let alone a Premier League, a Champions League or a World Cup game. And that's the difference, okay? He's not been hit. Now, that people are saying that's because he's so good. No, it's because he's fought the right guys. It's been perfect, brilliant matchmaking. That's not a criticism. That's a fact. I've praised his opponents. I think they've been brilliantly, beautifully picked in the last three or four have been great. I've not complained about them at all. However, there does come a time when you have to say, have you looked at these guys? These guys are picked for the perfect reason. The matchmaker has found them, and Eddie Hearn has rubber-stamped them along with Joshua and his team, and there's a lot of them, including Tony Sims. These guys are brilliant. It's fantastic. Now, the Kevin Johnson fight is a hard fight. I think, at this stage, it's a stupid fight. He's fighting Kevin Johnson, who doesn't go down. I know Big Derek dropped him earlier this year, but 10 or 12 rounds with Derek, 10 or 12 rounds with Manny Char, 10 or 12 rounds with the Tyson Fury. Okay, doesn't win, but he comes out the ring without a mark on his face and not even breathing heavy. He's not going to fall over against Joshua. If Joshua gets to him, breaks him down and stops him in 5 or 6, then I've got to tell you, a lot of the other heavyweights need to retire.
Yes.
If that happens, then a lot of them they need to look at themselves and retire. The problem they've got then, the people around Joshua, is how do you get him some more rounds?
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? I mean, you can't start matching him with tough, shorter guys like Shagayev and Povetkin, because they'll cause Josh all sorts of problems. They're too technically clever.
Mm.
What do you do? I mean, Wilder, you're not going to get to Wilder with the sort of money you're offering. This is what people forget. When people are on Twitter and online saying, oh, why doesn't Joshua fight Wilder? Well, I can think of about 2 million reasons why Joshua doesn't fight Wilder. You know, there has to be a reason. You can't match Joshua against Deontay Wilder at York Hall. What are people, donuts, stupid? I mean, literally, because you know that the dough that goes into donuts is the stupidest ingredient in food, don't you? You really do, don't you? No, I mean it. Yeah. If you're a French chef, right, or an Italian chef, and you're making some food, you know one thing that chef's never done is make a donut. It's the stupidest ingredient in the food, in the world of food. So any fans that think, oh, yeah, why doesn't Joshua should fight Tyson Fury? Oh, yeah, great. Tyson Fury doesn't need to push for his mandatory against Vladimir Klitschko and make a couple of million quid and fight someone, win the title, and then defend it and make millions. No, he should fight Joshua. Yeah, he should fight Joshua for 1 million, yeah. Are people stupid? Stupid? Anyway, listen, that Johnson fight is a hard, hard fight. That's inspired. But I'm telling you, I wrote about this the other week. I think it's a really difficult match.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, right. And I'm a big Joshua fan. I think the matches have been brilliant. I think this is so hard. I can't even tell you how hard it is.
Buncey, let me just throw a couple of scenarios at you, and just briefly before we get into the live fights this weekend. Yes or no answers, but brief ones. Will Fury fight Klitschko next year?
No, Klitschko, I'm convinced, will vacate quite sensibly, chasing the American money and fame.
And which one of the, maybe more than one, but which one of the three big British heavyweights, if you like, if we say Chisora, Fury, and the man who he's calling out in a way, hey, will he end up fighting Anthony Joshua in 2015, if any of them?
He might end up fighting Chisora.
Yeah. It's interesting, that Hay thing, isn't it? Saying, I want Hay. Hay's the one I really want. I mean, what a fight that is. Anthony Joshua versus David Hay. Wow. Anyway, let's go.
Hay's sensible. I mean, Hay kept on looking at Fury and thinking, wow, because the Fury the other night, that was a good Fury. You know, Fury fight sort of slightly out of sorts, David Hay, and David Hay will weigh up the money for that. Imagine David Hay selling the Joshua fight, he makes that much more money.
Does sound great.
And David Hay would, remember, step over a dead body to make an extra penny.
Just incidentally, very quickly, how's the injury? I've not heard much about David Hay's injury. Is he fully recuperated?
I don't know.
In
all fairness, anyone that still maintains, anyone from the world of sports journalism who still maintains they keep a sort of Hay watch is a fibber.
Yeah, yeah.
Because we've been let down so drastically and terribly. And then the vanishing acts. Mm. There comes a point when, you know, journalists need a bit of self-respect. And we can't go chasing David Hay and his fancy. Yeah, but... You know, he let us down. You know, his body let him down, and we sort of got barely adequate answers to questions. And then he's coming back. He told people in May of this year, he said he'd fight twice low-key shows before the end of the year. Then it was going to be once on a low-key show before the end of the year. Suddenly pops up again and says he's coming back. You know, at what point do we keep on chasing him and pursuing him? But it's normal. We did it with Lennox. Although Lennox never threw us any tantalising snippets, Lennox said no, but we translated that as maybe. And of course, we did it with Tyson to a degree. We did it with Hamid. We did it with all our fighters, really, our good fighters. Yeah. Joe Calzacchi, we still do it. If Joe says something like, "Oh, it'd be great to fight," you know, people translate that to "I'm coming back," you know. Anyway, carry on.
Let's have a look at these couple of fights that we've got then. We've got some betting on the Andy Lee fight and, of course, on the Amir Khan fight. Let's start with that Andy Lee versus Matt Korobov. 5-2, Andy Lee. 25-1, the price for the draw. And Matt Korobov is priced up at 100-30 on.
Blimey, that's a mad.
Yeah, I wondered if you'd be surprised by that. The Russian, overwhelming favourite here, unbeaten, 24 wins, 14 by stoppage. Andy Lee got 33 wins, 23 by stoppage. He's lost twice and been stopped twice in his career, Andy Lee, so far. No shame in losing to Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., of course, stopped in the seventh round back in 2012. He's fought a few times since then and won all of them. His other loss came way back in 2008 against Brian Vera. What about those odds, Buncey? I mean, Andy Lee is a tough guy. He won't give up, will he? I mean, is Korobov that good?
No, not at all. Korobov was going to be a sensation. He was going to be Golovkin before Golovkin was Golovkin. Kovalev was Kovalev. We used to have him on Satantarin back in 2008, and he was being relentlessly pushed. You know, he was a terrific amateur. A couple of times he won the Worlds. I'm sort of surprised by that. It's quite obvious that Top Rank are not that bothered about him. to be honest with you. They've had other fish, you know, bigger fish to fry or eat or cook or boil or poach or whatever you do with fish, in that cliche. I fancy Andy Nick this, I really do. He's fresh and young. He's been with Adam Booth for 2 years. He's fresher and younger than he's been for a lot of years. I think there's a sneaky bet on Lee on Lee to win. Plus, Cobos never been under pressure. He won't understand it. I'm telling you, Andy Lee is a bit desperate at the moment. He's a bit dangerous, and a dangerous and desperate man in what I consider to be a 50-50 fight always gets my nod.
Yeah.
I just fancy Lee. I think he might even get hold of him.
Right.
I fancy him on points. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he gets to him.
Well, by decision, it's the same price for both of these, actually. Andy Lee by decision's 5-1, and it's 5-1 for him to stop him as well. So,
well tell you what, that is a good bet. 5-1, Andy Lee win is a good bet.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Let's go to the.
A nice bet,
I didn't think it'd be quite as wide, but I thought he looked a little bit big at 5-2. The good thing about it, Bunchy, as well, he'll give you a run for your money, Andy Lee. Do you know what I mean? If you're having a bet on that, and even if he doesn't win, and you know, he'll still give you a good run for your money. You'll have that money right behind him all the way through the fight.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, anyone, you know, any middleweight can hurt any middleweight at this level. You know, they're good quality fighters, both of them. But I don't think Korobov is that damaging a puncher. I don't think he's that damaging a move, and I think he's grown a bit stout. He's 6 or 7 years or 8 years as a pro. Andy Lee's got a new lease of life in some ways. I think he's going to get older. I think Lee might stop him.
Right, yeah, interesting one to watch that one, especially if you're having a bet on it. Devin Alexander says Amir Khan's nothing special and his style is perfect for him. We'll find out, of course, this weekend. The 27-year-old who's won 26, stopped 14 and lost twice takes on Amir Khan, who's got 29 wins on his record, 19 by stoppage. He's lost three times and been stopped twice himself. Sean Porter beat Devin Alexander in 2013, and the other defeat on his record was to Timothy Bradley. Obviously, he's been in with a lot of different quality opponents. Also fought Lee Purdy, of course, in 2013. He's been in with Marcus Maidana, Kotelnik. But then Khan's got plenty on his record as well, Bunchy, of course,
yeah,
hasn't he?
I mean, we forget. Yeah,
yeah. It's been great watching and following Amir Khan's journey from the amateur successes that he had right through from 2005 when he turned pro. And as supporters of Khan, I mean, like the British, you know, boxing public, we've been through the depths as well. I mean, you know, you can't get out of your mind those wobbly leg moments, can you? But to be fair, he does look stronger, doesn't he? I mean, against Luis Collazo, unanimous 12-round verdict. He was down, what was he, down once in round 4 and twice in round 10, Collazo, wasn't he? And people thought he might cause him problems in the MGM Grand. What about Devin Alexander then? It's a good fight for Khan. Do you think he's a lot stronger in the legs and just stronger generally at this weight?
Well, I think he's growing into it. So bear in mind, he was meant to fight Devin Alexander last December.
Yes,
pulled out because he was promised a fight with Mayweather. That fell out of bed, and then Devin Alexander had to fight the replacement. And the replacement was Porter, who managed to beat him. Devin Alexander at the races that night. Yeah. And I think his purse had been reduced from a million plus against Khan to half that. And that can sap your soul, if I'm not mistaken. So that didn't work for Devin Alexander. Khan has been, I mean, in the last 10 years, he's been brilliant. I mean, he's been one of two or three boxers. You know, in all fairness, him and Froch, I mean, say what you like about Carl Froch, you know, he's been in great fights, he's had great wins, but Khan was always better known. Now, that's not the same as being popular. That's a case of being better known.
Yeah.
You know, let poor promoters start moaning and complaining and fighters start not talking to me again, which is thinnest skin in the world at the moment the fighters have got. This last batch just got the thinnest skin. Khan has really helped carry boxing for the last 10 years or so, from turning pro. And his last fight as an amateur, which was live on ITV, watched by about, 7 or 8 million or something. Glory days, eh? But Devin Alexander's one of my favourite fighters. He's not great to watch. This is why his first fight in Vegas. It's why he's always been ignored when Pacquiao goes calling, when Mayweather goes calling. No one wants a touch of Alexander. He's a brilliant, clever southpaw who's aggressive. Now, there's a few contradictions involved in that, but he is. He's a mixture. He's perfect, ideal. And here's the thing. He's younger. He's actually younger than Khan. And people would, look at it and think about it. Even boxing fans were going, you're joking, he's got to be 30-something. No, he's like 26 and Khan's 27, or 27 and Khan was 28 this Monday. I'm like, so Khan is older. I think it's a really hard fight. And you know what? When you're fighting for the right to make 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 million against Pacquiao or Mayweather to join the Mayweather stroke Pacquiao sweepstakes, you should have a hard fight. And this is what this is. It's a difficult night's work for both of them. He must know, though, Alexander, that if he fiddles his way to a victory, he's not going to get the call. The pay-per-view figures haven't been great for Pacquiao. They haven't been great for Mayweather. And the last thing they're going to do, the people in charge of those two guys, let's get it right, the TV companies are pulling the strings, is go for a guy who's awkward, aggressive, southpaw, who just managed to beat Amir Khan. At least for Amir Khan, they're going to get a guy that might take a risk, although Virgil Hunter has ironed out those risks. He looks bigger, stronger, and more sensible. So it's a great fight, this one. I mean, it's not on Box Nation, it's on Sky, I've got to tell you. I mean, Timothy Bradley's the better fighter. He's over on Box Nation. Yep. This is the better fight. Let's not, I'm not going to lie. That's what the other mob do. I'm going to tell the truth. However, if Timothy Bradley smashes Chavez, there's a guy called Chavez, not related to the Mexican, he's actually an Argentinian, then he puts himself back in a Mayweather position. And if Keith Thurman, who defends a version of the world welterweight title on the Khan undercard, if he smashes a guy called Bundu, who's never been beaten, he's about 500 years of age, if he smashes him, he puts himself back in the equation for Mayweather. That's what's happening in Vegas this weekend. There are three fights involving six fighters. And of those six fighters, only three, if they win, are going to put themselves in a Mayweather situation. Chavez beats Bradley, he doesn't fight Mayweather. If Bundu beats Thurman, he doesn't fight Mayweather or Pacquiao. And finally, if Alexander beats Khan, he doesn't fight Mayweather or Pacquiao. But if the three other guys win, they're all in the Mayweather sweepstakes and the Pacquiao sweepstakes, which is retirement money. So that's what's at stake. And nothing at all inspires you like a fight, the next fight that can change your life, your children and your children's life.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the motivator. You can stick your green belts where the sun don't shine. We want greenbacks.
Great line. What happened in the fight then, Muncie? I mean, the bookmakers think it's going to go the distance. It's 2-5 to be a 12-round fight, this one. 7-4 for it to finish before the final bell. Do you see that as well? I mean, you know, you look at Devin Alexander's record. Not many. Lee Purdy retired after 7 rounds, but other than that, he's gone the distance in each of his last, the 5 other fights in the last 6. Timothy Bradley, of course, that one stopped in the 10th of 12. But, you know, Katelnik, it was 12 as well. And Amir Khan, you know, his last couple have both gone 12, haven't they? His unanimous decisions over Julio Diaz and Luis Collazo. Is it a 12-rounder?
It's got to be a 12-rounder, because if Khan stops Alexander, it's a sensational win.
Yeah.
And if Alexander stops Khan, it's a sensational win. Mm-hmm. It's points. I think it's a really... If it's a wide decision, I'd be stunned. I would be flabbergasted if it's a wide decision.
I haven't told you. Sorry, go on.
I think he can't win. Mm-hmm. But I think it'll be tight, and I think Alexander's people, Kevin Cunningham and co, will be screaming.
Yeah, I haven't told you the odds yet, Bunton. I kind of did it on purpose because I was quite surprised by them. You're looking at a price here of Amir Khan 2-5 to beat Devin Alexander. Alexander 2-1. 2-5 seems very short for Khan. There's no worry about the decision here because Khan's as much, you know, kind of a fixture in the American scene as he would be over here. Probably get
More
like, you know, so there's no question marks over will he get a decision or not. But, I mean, he's odds on to win by decision, 4-5. You put 50 quid down on Amir Khan and he wins, you get 20 back plus your stake. Wow. It's unbelievable, isn't it? I thought it was really short.
For a Khan stoppage, right?
7-2.
Rubbish. That's absolutely outrageous.
It's crazy,
isn't it? I'm not being funny. That's outrageous.
It's mad, isn't it?
Oh, that's not even... That's,
but yeah, then you look at the individual group the individual rounds, Buncey, and you know, you're looking at 50-1s and 33-1s. You've got grouped round betting. Amir Khan to stop him, say, in rounds 10, 11 and 12 is 12-1. I mean, you know,
I just can't see that. Alexander knows too much.
Yeah.
Khan knows too much now. What with Virgil there. This is a fight where it'll be a hard fight, but neither of them will be encouraged to take risks. Khan on points, it ain't great money.
No. There are a few fight specials here as well. Amir Khan to win after being knocked down is 7-1. Devin Alexander to win after being knocked down, 20-1. You think it's going to be more of a technical fight than a blowout then?
Yeah, I do, but you know what? He can't help himself. That's 7-1's worth a little punt.
Yeah, true.
Khan.
Yeah, you don't need him to be knocked. You know, you need him to take a count, basically. So.
Take a count, yeah. So he's not hurt. And he's a southpaw. He could catch him off balance.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Although he has fought a long succession of southpaws, so he also knows that.
Yeah, should be used to it. Yeah, it's a strange one. I mean, it's funny because you know, Andy Lee's 5-2, Amir Khan's 2-5. I think Andy Lee should be shorter and Khan should be a bit bigger. You know what I mean? I think they're justifiably maybe that Khan is the favourite, but it seems very short that to me. Maybe it's having watched Khan and you know, can you trust your money on him? But I think he's maybe a different fighter now. But Khan and Khan to win on points, though, Bunty, is the prediction.
Yeah, Khan will win on points.
Bunty, thanks for your time.
No problem.
Good chatting to you as ever in top form, and we'll speak to you very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.